Hello, everyone. This is Clay Jenkinson. The Thomas Jefferson Hour is sort of taking a break right now. We're doing a film. One of the things I do with my friend David Swenson is create documentary films for the Dakota Institute in North Dakota. We did one about 18 months ago on former North Dakota Governor Art Link, and now we're just completing our second documentary film on former North Dakota Governor William L. Guy. Bill Guy was born in 1919. He's still very much alive. He lives quietly with his wife Jean in Fargo, North Dakota. They have five children, four of whom live in the state of North Dakota. And Bill Guy was the governor of this state between 1960 and 1972. If you just think about that for a moment, those of you who are old enough or those of you who know your history, that period was one of the most tumultuous in American history. The 60s didn't really come home to North Dakota much. We were pretty much out of the main highway of that period. But it did affect this place. And Bill Guy was the governor. And I'll tell you a story about that in a moment. But at any rate, we are very late and deep into this process. And all day today, David Swenson and I have been in the editing booth. And we have a film that should be 2 or 3 hours long, and it has to be cut to 56:42, I think, just under an hour for a broadcast on public television in June. And we've cut all the fat. Then we go back and cut more fat. You know, then we sleep on it and think about it and argue about it and walk away from it and come back and cut more. And then finally, you begin to cut into the muscle. It's fascinating. For those of you who don't know anything about this, and maybe everybody does now with the new kinds of PC and Mac technologies that everybody can have access to, when you do a film like this, you interview lots of people. I've interviewed Bill and Jean Guy for more than 30 hours. They're both in good health. I've interviewed their children. I've interviewed historians, journalists, political partisans of both stripes, water engineers, people who have memories of the Guy administration, people who have something to say about that period of North Dakota history. So altogether, I haven't counted, but I'm sure there's more than 100 hours of film footage. And all of it is interesting. Some of it is extremely interesting. And all of it really belongs as part of the Bill Guy file. You know, when historians look back on that period, they will now have access to this treasury of interviews in which, you know, everybody who came in sat in a chair and for 1, 2, or 3 hours strained to make sense of, to evaluate, to appraise, to describe former North Dakota Governor Bill Guy. It's an amazing process. And then you get all that, and you come out of each interview, or almost every interview, charged up and thinking, oh, these are things we can use. This is extraordinary. And you also, I don't go into making a film knowing what the film is going to be. I go into the film with an idea, what it's about, and I have some preliminary notions about it. But I try to withhold locking it in until much later in the process, so that the people that I interview can teach me what the story is, and particularly, of course, Bill Guy himself. And so 30 or so hours with the guys, another 80 or 90 hours with others, and all of this then winds up in digital files, which we slice up and label according to theme. And then when the assembly period of the film comes in about 4 months before it airs, we start creating segments. And now I've just walked away from the editing booth at this moment, and we have locked the film. David Swenson, the host of the Thomas Jefferson Hour, is in the other room rendering it and saving it. And he'll now have a huge amount of work to do to equalize the sound and to overlay that with historic footage and still photographs and what's known as B-roll, sort of covering footage. Labels, titles, special effects of one sort or another, then music. He has many, many layers yet to go, but the hard one is to get it to the 56:42. And now that it's there, we lock it. And we will send that material off to a closed captioning company that will make a transcript of the matter of the film, including applause and sounds of birds and whatever else there is. And then for the next 2 weeks, David Swensen and I will play with the pacing and the color balance, and we'll play with how much pause to put in at important moments, how to slow down and linger on a photograph of John F. Kennedy, what's known as the Ken Burns effect, when you have the camera sort of moving into and around the photograph that you've chosen. All this will happen, and he's going to not only incorporate music done by our friend Beverly Everett, the director of the North Dakota Bismarck Mandan Symphony, but he'll also make some music himself for scenes about Woodstock and the late 60s, the Vietnam protest movements, and so on. So all of that is going on, and sometime before June 10th, so about a week and a half, we'll finish the film. And at that point, it will be pressed. There's a cover being made for it with cover art and cover language and sleeve art. And then the premiere of this film will be in Fargo, North Dakota, at the Fargo Theater on June 15th, 2010, at 7 p.m. So do come if you can. And then a week later, on June 22nd, the second premiere will occur in Bismarck, North Dakota, at the Belle Mayhew Auditorium, that again at 7 p.m. And then on the 24th of June, the film will air. And by the way, the title of it is The Charisma of Competence, The Achievement of William L. Guy. The title comes from a statement made by a North Dakota historian who said, you know, Bill Guy isn't a charismatic. He isn't a breathtaking orator. He's not a man who's given over to political theater. What he did was modernize state government, bring good government to North Dakota, help to create the two-party system in North Dakota, sparked North Dakota economic and other institutions into life, paved roads, laid down an infrastructure that would serve as a kind of platform for the economic success that North Dakota now enjoys. So that's not glamorous. That's not, you know, Tiananmen Square. But he said what Bill Guy has might be called the charisma of competence. And the minute I heard that phrase from my old friend and mentor, Mike Jacobs, I knew that that was precisely the right theme for the film. So everything, in a sense, rotates around that concept. Anyway, today I came in completely exhausted and grumpy and overwhelmed, and we cut the voiceover. So I've written the film. I wrote the narrative, and then the voiceover got recorded today. The way I do films is let the voiceover emerge from the film rather than the voiceover create the film. In other words, I let the film play its own dynamics out, and then I provide just that much voiceover to make sense of the narrative line of the film. And I have to say, I mean, I'm not a voice artist, but I was proud of the voice work that I did today. I think it's the best that I have ever done. So that's good news, because normally I come away from a session like that just thinking, man, am I weak and unprofessional, you know, untrained, just doing the best that I can with my native wit. Anyway, so that's the story of the Bill Guy film. And, you know, from start to finish, it took 2 years. Endless numbers of interviews, you know. One day, 4, 5, 6, 10 interviews. Another day, just one. Other projects intervene, traveling about. I went up to Nakoma, North Dakota, 2 weeks ago for the actual 40th anniversary of the protest march at the Nakoma anti-ballistic missile site on May 16th, 1970. And I was there on the 40th anniversary to the day getting footage, but also there to sort of put myself into the soul of the film. What happened was that Governor Guy was presiding over the state. An ABM missile complex was placed here, one of two, the other in Montana. Governor Guy never thought that that was a good idea. He didn't like the ABM system or the concept of the ABM. He thought it was ruinous economically, and he objected to the fact that it was simply put here without any consultation with the people or the government of North Dakota. And so a protest was scheduled for May 16th 1970 up there. They were just beginning to build the site then. And this protest occurred, if you can imagine it, just 2 weeks after the killings at Kent State. On May 4, 1970, at Kent State University in Ohio, the Ohio National Guard fired upon and killed four innocent students, the Kent State Massacre, it's sometimes called. And this event in North Dakota occurred just 2 weeks later in that almost unbelievably volatile atmosphere in the United States. And Bill Guy handled the ABM protest march with such wisdom and restraint that one of our informants said, if you were writing a textbook on how to handle a situation like this, this incident would have to be in the text as showing the ideal. And so we've used that as our sort of climax example of the charisma of competence. And to get footage of it at dawn on the 40th anniversary, and also to sort of put myself into that moment, I made the 500-mile trip up there on May 15th and was there at dawn on May 16th. And it was really just a magical time. You know, what does any of this have to do with Thomas Jefferson? Well, nothing really. I mean, Jefferson bought North Dakota, I guess you could say, in the Louisiana Purchase. Jefferson sent his friend Meriwether Lewis here in 1804 and 5, and Lewis and Clark spent more time in North Dakota than in any other state. They built their Fort Mandan here and had very successful relations with the Mandan, Hidatsa, and Arikara Indians. And so I suppose there's a connection. Jefferson was an advocate of agriculture, so was Bill Guy. But Bill Guy was a Hamiltonian, let there be no mistake about that. Bill Guy believed that North Dakota should not remain an agrarian place, that it could never succeed, it couldn't have a stable economy and grow if we clung unnecessarily long to agriculture. And so he diversified the economy with mine mouth, coal-fired generation plants, and in-state processing of sugar beets. And North Dakota has a unique state bank. It's a socialist bank owned by the people of North Dakota, and he sparked that back into life as an economic lever. So he did a number of things that would be regarded as Hamiltonian, but his view was, and I think this is really the Hamiltonian view altogether, do you want to live here or do you just want to admire it? If you want to live here, if we want to keep our children here, if we want prosperity, if we want long-term economic stability, then we can't tie ourselves solely to agriculture, because agriculture is it's a stable way of life, but it's an unstable economic system, particularly in the sort of quasi-socialist, quasi-capitalist system of agriculture that now prevails in the world and even in the United States. So that's what we've been doing. This too will pass, and we will get back to the Jefferson Hour. And I hope we'll bring fresh energy to the Jefferson Hour. The calls have been coming in, so please do call us if you have questions or comments. You can write us. You can go to our website, jeffersonhour.org. You can contact me at clayjenkinson2010@gmail.com. We're eager to hear from you. We love the Jefferson Hour. The only reason that we haven't done it is that we have been totally consumed by this other project. But it's all in the spirit of Jefferson. You know, Jefferson believed that it's important for the citizenry to be well-informed and to understand the history of their place. And without that you can't make wise decisions. And so even though Bill Guy was a Hamiltonian in almost every respect, there's a Jeffersonian quality to the idea of making these documentary films. What are we going to do next? Then we go to work on a couple of other films, one on the Schaefer family, Harold Schaefer, who built Medora, North Dakota, and his almost unbelievably interesting widow, Shyla Schaefer, and their son, Ed Schaefer, formerly the governor of North Dakota, and his daughter, Ellie Schaefer, who is an outspoken liberal who works in the White House for Barack Obama. So the Schaefer film, we're doing also a film on Sister Thomas, who was a longtime president of the University of Mary, and then our big film, the blockbuster, we hope, our breakthrough film, will be a study of Eric Severide, the CBS News commentator who was born in Velva, North Dakota, and who helped to invent broadcast news in 1938 in Europe, and who wrote one of the great autobiographies in America, certainly one of the great autobiographies of the Great Plains, Not So Wild a Dream. So that's what's coming. Let us know what topics you would like us to look at in the Jefferson Hour. Thank you for your patience. We're not going blank on these occasions. We're putting onto the air best of or classic versions of the Jefferson Hour. So stay tuned. Tell everyone you know about the Jefferson Hour. I do strongly and genuinely believe that the Jefferson Hour is it's a searchlight. It's a beam of cool light of history and analysis, and I hope good sense in a world that's increasingly gone mad. So we'll see you next week for another exciting edition of the Thomas Jefferson.